All right. Well, because of how things went last week, I actually don't have any review questions, which means we should be able to get into chapter two. So if you guys are ready, we'll just jump right in so that that we can get going. We'll start reading the first five verses, and then we'll start dissecting it a little bit. Would anybody mind, or would somebody mind reading verses 1 through 5? Thank you, Ron. And next time I'm going to call on somebody so Ron doesn't have to keep on reading.
The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land, but you shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore, I also said, I will not drive out them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. So it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord.
All right, thank you, Ron. Okay, so as we finally get to chapter 2, we start off by reading a message that is given to the children of Israel. And who does this message come from? Angel of the Lord. And who is the angel of the Lord? Any thoughts? Christ? Jesus? How do we know that? And is it Jesus Christ, or is it a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ? Yeah, a theophany. How do we know that this is actually the angel of the Lord? How do we know it's not just an angel of the Lord, bringing a message from the Lord? There are some clues in our text. Okay. Okay. It's between Sergio and Amanda. Why don't you speak up and say that? Yeah, the text. He says, I brought you out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your father. So if we think back to Moses and the Exodus, what led the children of Israel as they came across by lands? Pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And it was representative of who? Jehovah, the one true God. So the angel of the Lord, he not only claims to have been the one to bring them up out of Egypt, but as we finish the verse and we read this, the second, he also claims to be the one that made the covenant with them. And he calls them to obedience. And so there's authority in those statements. Would any other angel have been able to make those claims? Not rightfully, right. Yep, not rightfully. So this was the one true God. So it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. So what does the fact then that God himself is bringing this message tell us? It's serious. Listen up. This is the desperate times call for desperate measures. It's a better listen. This is what I've got to say. Joshua had also had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. Does anybody remember the message that was brought to Joshua? Or where Joshua was? Nope. That was Jacob. So this is Joshua as they Yep. It was right before they went against the city of Jericho, and basically he came and said, I'm the captain of the Lord's army, and I'm giving you this land into your hands. So to Joshua, the angel of the Lord brought a message of hope and encouragement, of victory. And now what kind of message is he bringing? judgment, punishment, despair. It's a message of rebuke. Had the Lord kept his covenant with Israel so far? Yes, undoubtedly. No ifs, ands, or buts. Not one word of his promise had failed. He had asked them to keep his covenant with him by obeying his law and destroying the Canaanite religious system, their altars, their temples, their idols. But what did Israel fail to do? All that. Yeah. Yeah, everything that the Lord had wanted them to do, to go into the land, drive out the inhabitants, get rid of their idols, their temples, everything, they had failed to do that. In the last half of chapter 1, we looked at the tribes that got comfortable there with the enemy. They not only spared the people, the Canaanite people, and their religious system, but as a result of them allowing them to stay in the land, they also began to follow right along in their footsteps and live like them. They started to imitate them. And in the covenant that God had made with them, he promised to bless Israel if they obeyed him. But what else did he promise? We looked at this covenant a couple times. He promised to bless them if they obeyed, but he also promised to what? He promised to punish them if they disobeyed. There would be curses. There would be punishment. And one thing that we know is that God is faithful to his word. Amen? I mean, he's just faithful. And whether in blessing us or chasing us, God is faithful. And his love is on display in both of those aspects. But one of the things that the Israelites were supposed to do, one of their responsibilities that we talked about, was they were to remember. They were to remember what the Lord had done for them, how he had led them, provided for them. And I thought it'd be neat this morning if we took some time and just stepped out of Judges for a second and maybe shared some things of what God has done in our own lives. Take some time to remember. Share some areas where God has been faithful, not only to help you remember what the Lord has been doing in your lives, but to encourage other believers. And so anyway, does anyone want to share something? And I'll just start us off. For my family, the past 5 years has just been a roller coaster ride. God uprooted us from Mesquite, and he took us back to Frontier for a year. Both Brooke and I never thought that would have been possible, to go back to Frontier after being there already for 2 years. But he started to open our eyes once we got up there. He opened our eyes to the possibilities of all sorts of ministry, full-time, part-time, senior pastorate, associate pastorate, church planting, just all sorts of different avenues. And the whole time we're saying, Lord, we don't know that this is for us, but you've called us to this point, and we will pray about it, and we'll take steps toward it. We were always up in the air, kind of at our final landing spot. But as we continued to seek him, he was faithful to continue to provide. He was faithful to continue showing us the steps that we needed to take, usually just one step at a time, and we didn't know what was coming after that. But he was faithful, and because of knowing his faithfulness, we are at peace. Where when the world says no, you've got to figure it out, you've got to be successful, you've got to know exactly what's coming. We don't, but we have peace and contentment in that. And so God has been faithful just to show his hand for us. But any other stories? Anybody want to share something to remember? Pat?
The Lord has been faithful to us. My husband and I have been married for 58 years this year. Amen. And we have traveled all over the world, lived in various places all over the world. And through all of our travels and moves, he has been good to us. And we left Colorado 6 years ago, went down to the desert of Arizona. At the time, in his We'll know that reason someday. And, you know, we can see it now, all the wonderful people we met down there and everything. But then, last summer when we came through here, we just went up to
see. Yeah.
That's why we're here. He made it possible. And I'm just very happy.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. Oh, we got three. Katie, go ahead.
I just want to remind everyone from that the Lord is always there, even if you don't know He is. When I graduated high school, I wasn't really close to the Lord. And when I went off to college, I was estranged from my parents, and I didn't talk to them. And it was a slow process. It wasn't all overnight. And for that 1 year, it just hurt my relationship with my mom and dad a lot. And that was because I was away from the Lord, and not because He wasn't there. But after that year of college, I came home, and I realized there was a problem. And it wasn't for nothing. I mean, I realized there was a problem, and there was a lot of strife between my mom and my dad and me, mostly between me and my brother. It was not a good situation at all. I wasn't happy, so I knew I had to do something. I knew the only way that it would be fixed is if I asked the Lord to help me. And I did that. I sat on the edge of my bed, and I called out to God, and I instantly felt that relief from Him. So, you know, even if you feel like He's not there, He is there. That's what I want to remember.
Yeah.
Even if I feel alone, that He's there.
Yeah, great reminder to always remember. We'll go Craig, Tom, and then right here.
Janine and I, we have been part of God's family now, Christians, believers, for about 20 years. And my older brother, had been praying for us, for our salvation, for about 10 years prior to that. And it was just looking back on that now, it was just incredible thing for us to look back on. But as we became believers, we started praying for other family members to trust Christ. And it didn't happen for years and years and years. And just of late, my sister and her husband, my sister actually trusted a couple years ago, but through trials that the Lord has brought them through, God has been drawing them closer to Himself, to the point to where not only is that an answer to prayer, can we look back on God's faithfulness even with ourselves and see that faithfulness continuing now with my sister and her husband and that entire family. But the transformations that's taking place in my sister's family from alcoholism and that sort of thing, and coming out of that, is snapping the necks of the rest of the family. Mm. And like, what is going on here?
Mm.
So God has been faithful in that, and just as we have trusted him with our own eternal salvation, and we prayed to Him and trusted him to reach out and draw my sister and her husband and continue to trust for the rest of them.
Hmm. Thank you. Oh, you want to go ahead? What was your name? I'm sorry.
My name's Bill.
Bill, nice to meet you.
He came from Ohio with me. I'm Maddie and Stephanie's sister.
Oh. Okay. Thank you.
I know that, you know, when some people come to Christ, when they hear that, like, you're supposed to be a vessel for God, they get apprehensive because they think that, you know, they're throwing away, like, some sort of free will decisions or power. But I know that trying to make your life Christ-centered and being that vessel for him has just made my life so much fuller, so much richer. All the experiences, all the friendships that I've made has just been wonderful. Like, just a couple days ago, I had my first plane ride ever with her from Ohio clear out here. And I landed, and I was just thinking, you know, if I had never met, like, this good Christian woman, I probably never would have done that. I wouldn't be sitting here with all of her sisters and sharing this testimony to you right here that I had nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Amen. Thank you for sharing.
So much. Go ahead, Sergio.
I'm sorry. You know, Brooke yelled at me because I didn't see her hand raised twice last week, so I think I block off this side of the room a little bit. Sorry, go ahead, Serge.
Well, I just know, I definitely know God is faithful just from personal experiences in my life, you know, prior to being saved, just going through just an uncountable number of bad events, just really just kind of terrifying and traumatizing experiences and everything. And, you know, I was just kind of thinking, you know, I had to fight through this, going through it alone, you know, no one else is there, but, you know, the whole time God was there. But in his perfect plan, you know, he was planning all these things out for a reason, and, you know, I kept wondering what this reason was, but I didn't know what of anything about this plan or anything about what God was planning. And, you know, it was just, I had to, like, just seeing his faithfulness and just how perfect it was, you know, just getting to the point of brokenness. Mm-hmm. And then coming to know Christ as your Savior, I mean, it was just such an indescribable experience, just kind of to see just how quickly everything started turning around for the better, and, you know, just kind of walking in faith and continuing to see, you know, God's faithfulness and everything. Mm-hmm. But, and, like, sometimes I'll feel like, you know, I'm kind of the only one on this walk when I really am not, you know. Mm-hmm. There's brothers and sisters everywhere, you know. But even, I remember at a point that even God was, like, a friend that was closer than a brother. And just kind of, like, comforter, and just the only person, like, I would go run to. And, you know, it's just kind of that faithfulness that he has for, like, us, that, you know, that all of that can be possible. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just, it's just really just awesome, you know, God.
Very. Yep. Connie, go ahead.
Just looking back on things that have happened over my life, you know, like, we were told to move from North Platte to Scottsbluff. We didn't want to do that, but it turned out to be a good thing. We didn't want to move to Grand Island after that, 2 years later, but it turned out to be a good thing. And I lost my dad when I was in my early 20s. He was 58. And that was horrible. And Mom, a couple years later, married a guy, and she brought him to Christ. He was baptized, I think, when he was 78 years old. So, you know, that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you look back, and all these things, you wonder, why is this happening? I don't want to do this. But years later, you look back, and, you know, that's a good thing to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Hindsight is 20/20, they say.
Sometimes I get week, really, God, and I know this is true too, thinking about family members and, bad things happen, and it's so important for all of us to know that our family members understand the love of Christ, and sometimes they don't, and that can be very hard, but the one thing that I always remember that keeps me, I feel like, grounded, when I was in 8th grade, Maggie and myself lived with our dad, and we were uprooted in 3 days. We moved from Ohio to Utah, our realtor brought us to church, and I saw something in their eyes that I just knew I didn't have. I didn't understand what it was. I'm not even sure that I knew who Jesus was or what that really meant, but I just said, I want that, and then I prayed the prayer of salvation, and they gave me some books, and I read some books, and then a year later, God moved us back to Ohio, where I had some Christian friends that I didn't realize were Christian, and they brought me to church, and it just, like, really hit me, and I started to understand, and then I started to pray for my sisters, and one by one, they all came to Christ, I don't know, it's just the most incredible thing, because God moved me across the country to introduce me to Him, I feel
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah.
And then He moved me right back to nourish me and my sisters. And then Maggie, Valerie used to live here, another sister, and they switched places. And I feel like it's been really good for Valerie, our youngest sister, and her faith. And it just reminds me, like, never to underestimate God when it comes to other family members. And I don't know. It just reminds me. It just makes me feel so special to Him.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and with that, the Lord always has a better plan in our lives, because, and He's just really showing me that. I'm just starting to feel really blessed with all that He's planned. Because, growing up, I would never thought this is the Lord's plan for us to be so far apart. I would never want that. But now, I would never want it the other way, because we're so close. I've been so blessed to be here and to meet Katie and Bill, because they're two people who live across the country. We could never have these friendships any other way, and we wouldn't be close.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And from the perspective of never giving up, my grandma was a pretty tough lady, and after my grandpa died, my wife, fortunately, had asked. We just become Christian very recently. Before my grandpa died, my wife has a friend of mine to ask him, Papa, when you die, are you sure that you're going to, how do you know that you're going to be going to heaven? And he gave such a clear testimony, and this guy was 96 years old, and he did amazing testimony for having received Christ as his Savior. Well, my grandma had no clue. She was just one tough cookie. And after Papa died, we took Grandma to a Christmas program at church, and when we came away from that, she says, driving over to her apartment, and she says, oh, Tommy, she says, I wish so much I could be sure I would be with Papa when he died. And I said, well, Mama, you can. And so I shared the plan of salvation with her there in the car, and as we walked up to her front door, I asked if I could come in and talk with her a little bit. She says, well, no, not tonight. Flashing forward now about 8 years, she ends up in a convalescent facility, and I was up in that same town with my employer, and I knew that I probably wouldn't see her again if I didn't see her that night. So we finished with our program. I just asked the Lord that there would be some way that I would be able to talk to her that night. And this is terrible. It's great, thank the Lord. But I got to her facility, and I just asked the Lord to please keep her awake. And when I got there, she was asleep. I could just feel my heart was just sunk, and I looked across the room, and there was a nurse standing at her desk over there, and she says, wake up. And so I said, you know, well, no. But she was one of those people you just didn't mess with. Anyway, I took her hand, and I put her hand and my hand on top of her hand, and as I took her hand, I started crying, and she woke up, and she took my hand, and she says, Tommy, don't worry, it's all taken. Well, she got out of that facility, and there was such a dramatic change in her. She had remembered evidently that the opportunity she had to receive that gift of salvation. And she was such a changed woman. My mom and my her sister thought that my grandma had lost her mind. She would smile. She was just a kind lady. And in fact, there was such a dramatic difference that when Mama died about 5-6 months later, they wouldn't let me speak at her funeral. I mean, I was so wanting to share what had happened to my grandma. And my folks, my mom was embarrassed by her mom. So my mom didn't receive it. So my mom, my grandma at 91 received Christ. And so not to give up. My mom herself, when we left Bible school to come out to visit my mom in St. George, we had just prayed that we'd have a chance because we'd share the gospel with her. And she was so ticked off because she'd been in church her whole life and how this young whippersnapper telling her that the way to get to heaven, you've got to be kidding. Well, anyway, so we get her to... We got to St. George and asking Lord to just please, that there be some opportunity to share with my mom. We walk into her hospital room, and she was frantic. She says, the doctor told me today, oh, I might die. She said, I'm not ready to die. And I said, well, Mom, it's just a matter of receiving the gift of salvation and being reconciled to God and set your sin nature aside and receive the new nature of Christ in you. And I said, it's a matter of believing, receiving that gift through faith. And she says, I believe. 90 years old. She didn't have as dramatic a change as my grandma, but she was not as ugly as my grandma's either. Anyway, so 90 and 91, and the yeah. Last God's faithful until the end. Don't give up.
Absolutely. Yeah. Never giving up. Just the praying for the family members. My family. It was because of one believer in a town of 3,000 non-believers that continued to pursue my father. Share the gospel with him, witness to him, and as a result, you know, our whole family came to know the Lord. So yeah, never, definitely good reminder to never give up. I love this. I love hearing your stories of God's faithfulness. Are there any others that want to be shared before we move on?
I want to, but I always cry. I can't.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah.
Taking his time to think into heaven. God is so faithful. One of the ones I'm thinking of most is, of course, my salvation. Because I was not brought up in a Christian home. But I came to know the Lord through some not great circumstances. But I'm so thankful for the circumstances now, because had I not been through those circumstances, I wouldn't have turned to Jesus. So I am very thankful for that. I think about when I had to give up my business. I moved to Central California. Didn't want to do it.
Right.
I don't want to go to Modesto. I don't want to go to Modesto, but that's where my mom was. And I came to terms with it. Okay, this is temporary. I'm going for a minute. And everybody kept asking me, when some of my family was up there, why don't you live up here? Why don't you live up here? I said, no, I like it here. Anyway, as long as short of it was, I can remember walking at the beach saying, Lord, why do I have to go to Modesto? And I just remember the Lord telling me in my heart, you don't know how long you're going to have your mom. My mom is not an older woman. She died at 70. She had me at 16. So I said, okay, I went. And I was there 2 weeks. We were having breakfast at the table, and I noticed that she was short of breath. And I said, Mom, you're short of breath. And she said, yeah. I said, we need to go to the doctor. So we went to the doctor. She'd already had colon cancer and beat it. We went to the doctor with lung cancer. They took the upper left lobe. She didn't have to have chemo or any radiation. It got early. It was stage 1. And I remember going to bed that night and saying, Lord, I now know why you brought me here. And I'm so thankful, because it was an honor to care for my mother, because she ended up, she lived another year, and then she got pancreatic cancer. And she lived another 7 months. And our prayer was that she would not suffer. And my mom did not suffer. She lasted 7 months and never suffered. She went hot air balloon riding. She went to a walk. She did all the things she wanted to do. So God has been very, very faithful. And life is not easy, but He tells us that we will have tribulations, but we can be of good cheer because He's overcome the world.
Absolutely.
The most important thing is, no matter what our circumstances are, we can still have the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
So now you heard me. I'll be crying.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing, Christina.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
It's like Tom. It's not tears of sadness. It's tears of gratitude and love and how He has been so faithful.
Absolutely.
And
I don't. Yeah, that's good. Let's, Carolyn, and then we'll come back to Connie. Connie?
Yeah, she was talking about taking care of her mother. I took care of my mother and stepdad. They were in the nursing home and prayerfully died. And I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. That was so neat to be able to be there and hear them and see them and know what's going on, you know. And it was just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, she was ready to go. She was seeing Jesus and whatever. It was just.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. God is so good. He is he's faithful. And the thing of it is that all these blessings and these joys that we've talked about, that's what God wants for our lives. That's what He wants to give us. That's what He wants to bestow on us. But He won't, hesitate to remove those blessings if we're not obeying Him. And now wrapping it kind of back to where the nation of Israel was at, that's where they were at. They made it very, very clear what their decision was, and God let them have their way. But he did warn them in this passage. He lets them know that because of their disobedience, there is going to be consequences. And what are, from our, going back to our text now, in the first few verses, what are some of the consequences of their disobedience? Oh, we're in chapter 2. Finally, I know it took us forever to get here. There'll be thorns. Yeah, they're going to be a thorn in their side, and traps that would ensnare them. And so, how do they react to this message, this warning message? How do they react? They wept. They realized they were wrong. Kind of like Katie just, shared. She got on the edge of her bed and she cried out to the Lord. That's what they did. And it's the exact same thing that we do today. We go out in our own way. We forget about God and His Word for a second. And so He allows us to fall because we can't do anything without Him. And then He helps us to realize what we've done and we cry out to Him. So because of all this, they name this place Bochim or Bochim. But notice these two areas here mentioned. It says that the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. Does anybody remember anything significant about Gilgal? There was something special about it. The young kids actually learned about this a couple weeks in Sunday school. But when the children of Israel were finally entering into the promised land, Joshua had one leader from each tribe go back down into the river while the river was still being held back, the Jordan River, and each member selected a large stone and carried it out on his shoulder. And then what did they do with those stones? Yeah, they built a memorial, a monument, and that was at Gilgal, and that monument was to remind them, their children, help them to remember what God had done for them. So that was at Gilgal. And then when all the men of Israel were circumcised for the Lord, He said that he had taken away their reproach from Egypt. That was also at Gilgal. And then the nights before the battle, when Joshua went out and met the commander of the Lord's army. That was also at Gilgal. So Gilgal carries the idea of victory. So the angel of the Lord comes up from Gilgal, a place of victory, to Bochim, a place of weeping. And it is exactly what the Israelites had done. They had gone from a place of victory to a place of weeping. Before the angel of the Lord, he brought a message of hope and victory to Joshua, and now he brings a message of despair and punishment. Any questions so far? No? I think we're going to end there, because I don't want to get halfway through this next section and have to stop. So we'll have some extra time for chatting and fellowship. Thank you for sharing God's faithfulness. That was neat to hear those stories, and nice to remember where we've been and what God has brought us through to help us remember that for the future. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that you've given us this morning. Lord, thank you for showing us and reminding us just how faithful you are. There's so many more stories, so many more incidents, so many things, Lord, that if we just sat down and took the time to remember, Lord, we'd be sitting there for forever, just recalling your faithfulness to us, Lord. And we just thank you so much, Father, more than anything, that you are faithful to us, even when we are not faithful in return. Thank you for loving us just that much, Father. Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the remainder of our time this morning. Just pray your blessing upon the worship through song and through the reading of your word. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with the worship team and with Pastor Craig this morning, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.